Ladies and gentlemen, after quite a sizable break, welcome back to On the Time Lash. Though we should say, this is a little On the Time Lash extra.
There's a couple of things I suppose we should talk about before you listen to our episodes covering Time of Angels and Earthshock.
And since we've been away, an enormous amount has happened. Yeah. And how much of it I'm glad about... I don't think
I'm very happy about any of it, to be honest.
No, I mean, so, okay. So, what will we talk about? Let's just give a little brief little menu.
Well, I suppose
so
we should...
obviously, Capaldi is gone.
Yeah, he is gone.
We've got a timeline for his end and when the new series helmed by Chris Chibnall will start.
Well, of course, yeah, we could cover that as well.
We have, unfortunately... say goodbye to Sir John Hurt.
Indeed, which was very sad.
We say less sad, we probably say goodbye to class.
Oh, well.
And of course, there's the speculation about who the next Doctor will be. Not necessarily who, but what the next Doctor will be.
A pretty young man, probably.
Okay. Well, okay. So I've got some notions about that. So let's take it as it is. Then.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago now, as you sit listening to this, it was announced that Christmas... the end of this year.
The end of this year,
2017, yeah. Will be... not just Stephen Moffat's final episode, as we thought it would be, but
yes.
It is actually also Peter Capaldi's final episode as well. He is gone.
Which he announced on the Joe Wiley show.
Yes.
And which clearly was not telegrammed into her beforehand. Because she kind of just like, oh yeah, yeah, wait, what? You're leaving?
so he makes us a nice one. So I listened to it after you recommended it, and it's a great listen.
It is really fantastic.
I mean, if nothing else, Peter Capaldi has one of maybe the greatest voices.
Oh, yeah.
In acting. I think she was telegrammed, but I think the fact that it was a scoop, she had to incredulous. I think you can probably still get it on iPlayer.
I would have thought so, because you usually keep these things up for about months, don't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's only been a couple of weeks.
So, have a look at it. Firstly, it's great music, great chat.
Yes.
And then at the end, he talks about Doctor Who, and it comes... I think I'd known that. I was listening to it after I'd found out.
Yeah. So would I, because actually, in one of those very odd things that sometimes happens with Doctor Who, because I've been working in London for the past 4 weeks, so one Monday I kind of trooped off after work to watch a couple of films, which just happened to be a John Hurt double bill.
Yeah.
So the Jackie Kennedy film, Jackie, in which he plays priest, and a documentary about cinemas in Norfolk, which was narrated by John Hurt.
Okay, that sounds like an absolutely cracking watch.
It actually was. It's a genuinely very moving and rewarding documentary that kind of transcends Norfolk to talk about just the history of cinema and cinema exhibition in general. And it's
that is a big remit, to transcend Norfolk to talk about the history of cinema. Wow, I take my hat off to these guys.
It's nice, it's a nice film. But apparently John Hurt actually narrated it for free.
Today?
Yeah. So anyway, so I come out of the cinema, I'm quite moved to tears by this wonderful story of... Isn't cinema just a wonderful thing? And I'm like, yeah, it is. I get a text message on my phone going, you know, have you been listening to Joe Wiley? Have you heard the news? I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I was gutted when I heard it. And I was gutted. I was absolutely gutted.
Well, the thing was, because I kind of steeled myself to listen to it on the train in the next day.
Yeah.
And there's a moment... In that, once he's kind of announced he's leaving and he's talking about just the, was it something about like the generosity of the Doctor Who production team and people behind the scenes and the private things that go on, and you can hear his voice crack.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, geez, and I just felt I was on this like crowded train, just going, oh, I'm going to go. Because he's clearly having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly a job that he absolutely loves, but for, you know, reasons... which, you know, to a certain extent he outlines in the interview. He wants to, you know, to say goodbye while he's still doing it at the height of his talents.
I guess there is a lot to unpack with Capaldi going, because you don't know how much of what he has said is his reasons to go, and what seem like the obvious reasons that he is going, as opposed to what is rampant internet rumour.
Yes.
Well, he alluded to the same thing that has been said in many different ways, but Matt Smith has said it, David Tennant has said it. You go, you get to the end of about 3 years of doing it and you're fucking knackered. Like, it is a massively energetic
yeah.
Body grinding job to be the Doctor. And he, I imagine, a little older, well, much older than Tennant or Smith, is probably going, I can't. Because he even said in the interview, he doesn't know how long he can do it, keeping on giving his best. Yeah. So that's understandable.
Well, one more
but also, one more year. But then we wouldn't be happy with that. We'd want another year. Yeah. Want another year. But then there is also, and it seemed also like it was very likely that with a new showrunner, you wanted the everybody wanted the opportunity afforded of a clean slate.
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's a matter of public record that Chris Chibnall has had offered.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, we'd love you to stay on, and I do wonder if Pearl Mackie is staying on,
yeah,
or if they are going to do as they did with Stephen Moffat, Matt Smith, and Karen Gillan,
mm-hmm.
fresh start. But they got lucky once, you know.
Yeah,
would they get lucky again? Who knows? Who knows?
What do you mean get lucky?
Well, like, you know, like everybody thought, you know, it's going to be a bit of a risk, you know. But the writing was great, the performances were fantastic, and everybody breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah,
and you know, the nation still watched the next week. Yeah. Will that happen again?
Well, will it? I mean, because the internet rumour seems to suggest that the BBC wants that. Now, I have never heard anyone in the upper echelons of Doctor Who saying anything but how supportive and decent the BBC is. But there's it seems like these last couple of series have been something that have. And I don't believe it for a minute. But it's a story that people cling hold to.
It's a marketing thing. So it's basically the idea that you can't sell. And I mean, I joked about it when Capaldi was first rumoured. And I remember reading a brilliant, seeing like a really funny tweet, which was like a picture of Peter Capaldi at like his most terrifying.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, this is the guy they're going to put on children's duvet covers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
And obviously that is something that apparently the rumour is that the BBC want a younger actor, like kind of go back to the David Tennant, Matt Smith kind of mould, you know, so they can sell
the sexy emo boy.
Yeah, so they can sell more T-shirts and coasters and
it does stuff. Well in America, all that kind of stuff.
Which, as far as I'm aware, I think the ratings in America have been fairly consistent and are doing quite well.
So, bizarrely, one of my favourite reads in Doctor Who magazine is when Tom Spilsbury gives a rundown of the ratings of a series, of where Doctor Who sits week on week, month on month in the ratings. Is it Vision On? I think
something like that.
And what you find from somebody who is a level-headed and jovial and genial as well writer is that there is the fact that ratings are down is because it's nothing to do with people switching off. People are watching in the same the same amount, if not the same manner, and that's the problem. Doctor Who is massive, is absolutely massive across the globe, and I think Peter Capaldi's been an excellent representative.
He really has. I mean,
I don't buy it at all. Because
more than anybody, I think, since the show's come back, he's such an amazing ambassador for the show.
Yeah.
Like, you see him just, like, making surprise appearances, the Doctor Who experience on, like, bank holidays.
Yeah.
Visiting children in hospital and, like, not quite fully in character, but in character enough.
He shows up in the costume.
Yeah, because that, I think, is just how he dresses.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's, like, back to the days of, you know, Tom Baker surrounded, swarmed by kids in, like, you know, like a primary school in Dublin, I think it was. Yeah. It was a Belfast.
So I don't buy this idea that he's too old, he's too alienating. No.
The time slot is the alienating thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, it's on slightly too late. But then, you know, people pick it up on the iPlayer. But I think what they want is, they want to kind of make Doctor Who an event again. It's like, well, do you do that by fucking putting it on at a time when people aren't in the pub, when children aren't in bed, and where people are like, oh yeah, watch Doctor Who. The best period of Doctor Who.
Well, advertising it as well.
Yeah, yes, there is that. Because it is that kind of, what was it Tom Spilsby said, I think it was in one of the ratings things last year, where he said, you know, if you look at the advertising for the new series, the Doctor and Clara Oswald in the TARDIS, same old, and it's like, Seriously, that's your...
Yeah.
That's your marketing pitch? Like,
Deliberately withholding the role of
Davos. And the return of Dr. Mysterio as well. Yeah. Like, I remember how that was marketed and the way that trailer was cut. I said, this looks fucking dreadful.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best, most rewarding Christmas specials I've watched in quite some time. If anybody needs sacked within the Doctor Who sphere, it's the marketing people.
Well, you know, the BBC is in a bit of a financial conundrum at the moment. And I think what it hopes with Doctor Who is that it sells itself. So they don't have to...
Which, to a certain extent, it does. Because people like you and I will always tune in. People like you and I will always buy the DVDs.
Yeah.
So, to a certain extent, but that only does only go so far.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's about kind of... I've been working in an audience research department for the past 4 weeks. So I've kind of got that head on. I'm like, yeah, but it's all about, like, you know, increasing your audience. And how do you go about that? And what, like, things do you do to do that?
Having a national and cultural reach.
Yeah, indeed.
So I guess...
We've got a little bit away from the topic at heart, but I think
What can we read from these rumours when we eventually find out who the new Doctor is? There is the idea they want to go back to the David Tennant era.
Indeed.
I don't know. Although one thing that had occurred to me is, if that's the case, Chris Chibnall coming over from Broadchurch, I think they would just give it back to David Tennant. I'm serious. So the day of the Doctor, it was established that the Doctor could decide on a face and could revisit old favourites. I think there is a conversation had, or there is a conversation coming. So it's a real thing that could happen. Do we ask David Tennant to come back?
It's that old Tom Baker thing, isn't it?
Well, they wanted him
1993. They wanted him to come back and forget all the other Doctors that had come since.
Yes, in the TV movie, the original TV movie, they wanted him to be the person who regenerated Paul McGann. However, obviously the big thing that's going about the internet just now is that Tilda Swinton might be...
Bollock! Like, there's no grounds for that whatsoever, other than somebody going, because somebody shared that with me today, and I was just like, do people not realise how little money the BBC have? And also how incredibly busy Tilda Swinton is?
yes. When a Doctor, or when a James Bond role comes up and they start naming all these names and you go, it's none of these people. Is it fuck going to be Dame Helen Mirren as the Doctor? Are you kidding me?
Well, it's the thing...
Double-time Oscar winner, very much in demand.
Well, Digital Spy had this thing with, like, the official contenders for the next Doctor. And then you click on the article and it's like, basically William Hill have announced the official odds on a bunch of actors that may or may not play the Doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's no fucking basis in reality then, is there?
Yeah.
It's just some... they've got that much of a chance if you want to put some money on, you get this back.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've said this before, and I don't think a lot of people have commented on this. What is Doctor Who? So it's a kind of a job for about 3 or 4, maybe 5, maybe...
Well, listeners, we always had to cut the recording short there, but Ben's just been offered the role of Doctor Who, so congratulations.
So it's something that lasts for about maybe 3, 4, 5 maybe years. It's either someone like Matt Smith and David Tennant, who are largely unknowns.
Yeah.
You knew who they were, but you were largely unknown.
Yeah.
Or it's somebody, I don't want to say at the end of their career, but Capaldi had done what was probably thought to be his iconic character, Malcolm Tucker.
Of course,
He now could afford to do whatever he wanted to do.
And now he can really afford to do whatever he wants to do. Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be. It's either going to be someone you've never heard of, or it's going to be somebody who is fairly low-key at the moment, but... is a little older. It would suggest what we've been talking about is not going to be older. It's going to be a complete unknown. Now, will it be a man? Will it be a woman? We don't know.
I think we can maybe safely assume it will be a white male, roughly 26 to 30 years old.
This is what I'm talking about. So when we eventually discover who the new Doctor is, I think we can probably put to rest or put to bed the rumours that Capaldi is outed because he's an older man. Like, say if it is something like Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, you bet.
And you go, well, this is completely different to what we imagined. So all of that was just crap.
because the rumour is that the next series will start in October.
Yeah.
Ian Levine's raging.
Yeah. When's he not?
When's he not? So, it'll start next year in sort of August, autumn time. That gives them loads of time to cast an actor. Because they probably won't be shooting until January, maybe February. You could conceivably cast the actor quite close to Christmas special and then just like reveal it as a complete surprise on Christmas Day. And I was like, I mean, I don't believe that'll ever happen, but wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't that just genuinely be just like... I mean, obviously, if it's an unknown actor, you'd be like, all right.
So, what are they going to do? Will they do that? Will they do just a low-key Christmas surprise?
Yeah.
Or will they go absolutely insane, like they did with The Next Doctor Live?
This is what I wanted to talk about. So, obviously, Danny Dyer, National Treasure... Who thought that was going to happen, you know?
I don't understand kind of become, how this has gained traction.
He's become... Well, apparently it's my fault. I don't believe it is. Some friends and I had a very funny WhatsApp conversation. Oh, Mark, how do you feel about Peter Capaldi leaving? I'm like, I'm fucking gutted. How do you think I feel?
Yeah.
And they're like, who would you want? And I just went, fucking, I don't know, Danny Dyer. Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Back to the days of Ken Dodd and Paul Daniels.
And so we had a very funny conversation in which, you know, we were just, like, quoting Doctor Who lines, but with like, a slightly Danny Dyer twist. Like, I can't believe... Well, actually, quoting Danny Dyer lines with Doctor Who things, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I can't believe it's been thousands of years since them slags blew up Gallifrey. Still freaks my nut out to this day. You know, stuff like that. And then it seems to have just, like, just completely gained traction, and he's being asked about it in the press... And I think he's very unhappy on his standards at the moment. So he's actually like touting for work and being like, yeah, mate, I'd love to do it. Maybe you should start a letter writing campaign in the BBC. It won't happen.
Yeah.
Because he's too old.
Yes.
Because he's in his 40s already.
Other people would also argue because he is the most aptly named actor. That's another.
Hey, come on. Well, as somebody on our...
It's not going to be him.
As somebody on our Facebook page brought up the whole slash your girlfriend's face thing, and I feel the need to go, listen, Danny Dyer was a very stupid young man who put his name to our column in a lad's mag and then never proofread it. And look what happened.
Yeah. Peter Capaldi never did that.
No, he didn't.
Who would you like to see as the next Doctor?
Who would I like to see as the next Doctor? Christ, Peter Capaldi?
Actually, do you know what? I asked that question because it seemed like a standard question to ask. It's a bullshit question.
Yeah, isn't it?
If you were asking me, I was like, mate, I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Well, what I was going to go on to from the Danny Dyer thing was, I've been making a lot of jokes about it, like I did with Brexit, like Trump, because I'm going to bring it back to what you said about the live reveal. Yeah. It's not going to happen. What if this time they go, right, well, we had the live reveal. We did the Doctor Who Confidential. What if this time we have, like, a live vote?
like stars in their eyes.
Yeah, or the X Factor. We'll just open it to a public vote. Who do you want in the next Doctor Who?
God, oh.
It'd be Danny Dyer.
It would be absolutely hijacked. It would be.
So let's hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will.
Well, no, because the BBC will be looking at going, oh shit, it is Tilda Swinton. How much money do we not have? What an interesting time.
It is always that thing, isn't it, when Richie and I talked about this quite recently, where it's just like, this is the point where it's all a bit scary, because... Rather than, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, change and renewal, et cetera, that's what Doctor Who's always been about. It's always quite an exciting time. No, it's fucking not. What if this is the time they cast the person that just ruins it for you? Like, I mean, it's never happened yet, but I always feel for some people, Colin Baker did that to them.
So and I'm like, I don't have the highest of confidence in Chris Chibnall.
As we will discuss in 8 weeks' time.
So let's divorce the idea of showrunner. I think the production can be very well managed and he's the person to do it. The imagination and the storytelling ability, I don't see being there. So that worries me.
Okay.
And if that's not there and it's miscast, then. Now, we say that greedily with quite a you know, where are we, like 13 years of well, new Doctor Who. So we know it's going to go for a little while. But I don't know. It's interesting. You're right, it's scary times. It's also time where we've still got a full series of Peter Capaldi to come.
We've got 13 episodes.
Where we're promised new, exciting, wonderful things.
And it looks good from the trailer.
From the trailer it looks great. But now we approach it like... It's a long... What Stephen Moffat said it, like, it's a long walk to the chair.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Moffat wrote his last series of Doctor Who last year. Well, yeah last year. Well, I didn't write it last year, but it aired last year. And, no, it didn't. God, it was 2 years ago, but... Just under 2 years ago. Because there was no Doctor Who last year, was there? No. I keep saying last year. Yeah. Wasn't on. He essentially wrote his last series of Doctor Who and then was asked back.
Yeah.
Now... If that's anything, if that last series of Doctor Who is anything to go by, I can't wait to see what he does with another one.
And I do wonder, though, how much Chris Chibnall has contributed to the series. I'm led to believe none at all.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if the...
It would be
a shame to have a new companion and then for her to be immediately gotten rid of.
It would be. It would be.
Along with the Doctor and in the shadow of the Doctor so that nobody really gives a shit. So I do wonder if Bill has been created along with Chris Chibnall in order to bridge the gap.
Maybe. If they've thought that far ahead, which by the sounds of things they maybe haven't.
Mm.
I don't know. But then possibly, I mean, I suppose if the idea originally was to keep Capaldi, then keeping Bill wouldn't be that much of a stretch either.
Mm.
So you might be right. The thing is, I can't help but feel that I think with the Christmas special, yes, there will be obviously involvement in the same way that Stephen Moffat was like, I mean, just have the TARDIS exploding and I'll go from there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Don't know.
The thing I'm really annoyed about is can we just stop having doctors leaving us at Christmas?
Yes.
Because it's bad enough trying to watch a fucking Christmas special with your family and for it to be like an important, you know... moment in the history of the series.
So I think Christmas Invasion worked.
Because you'd already seen a little snapshot and it's just like him kind of getting to...
The introduction of the Doctor. It's a clean slate and you're taking a Christmas audience with you.
Yeah.
I will always defend and like Time of the Doctor.
Okay.
It just shouldn't be at Christmas. No. It shouldn't have been at Christmas.
No, because there's so much going on in that episode... as it is, without then having to balance the Christmas nonsense at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it shouldn't have been at Christmas. However, what I hope they do is maybe, like, the end of time.
They get really bloat it out and...
No, but you give a bit of an exciting but ultimately untaxing adventure in part one.
Mm.
And then when people are a bit more sane and stable...
On
New Year's Day. Well, yeah, I mean, like, because that's a, you know, it's a lazing about day. You begin to refocus rather than...
I mean, it's usually when EastEnders is at its most depressing. Like, people always give Christmas, like, nah, mate, New Year's Day is when it gets really fucking horrendous.
Yeah. But I guess time will tell. It always does.
Yeah, there we go. But lastly... We lost John Hurt, which was very sad.
I was going to talk about losing class as well.
Who cares?
Okay,
losing class. I'll tell you something you don't lose class, Ben. Sir John Hurt.
He is much, much bigger than Doctor Who. We're going to talk about him, obviously. Him being a doctor.
I loved...
And a bona fide... excellent Doctor.
I know, which was, I think, I still say it's the best gift of the 50th anniversary was John Hurt as Doctor Who.
Yes, yeah. And it's a gift that continued to give because he seemed to embrace it and now have a great legacy through Big Finish.
We've got 12 episodes by the end.
Yeah.
The end of next month, I think it is.
Yeah.
12 hours of John Hurt as the Doctor extra, which is amazing. And amazing that he agreed to do it when actors who I would say are less standing still haven't signed up to Big Finish, Christopher Eccleston.
He's got his reasons.
I know. But yeah, so incredible that he did it. But I think all the stories that were kind of coming out about him were just universally just like the loveliest man to work with.
Yeah.
Like I say, you know, he narrated that documentary free of charge and gives a wonderful voiceover, as he always does. And absolutely steals the show in Jackie as well, as this priest. But yeah, that's what he would do. He's just incredible. And just all these characters he played. I loved Capaldi talking about him in Alien. Just looked wasted. And I just was like, I want to look like that when I get older.
Yeah.
He does.
So what's the few of his iconic roles, obviously? And am I right in thinking, I haven't seen it in ages, but doesn't he do that again for Mel Brooks' Spaceballs? Doesn't he appear as that character in the bar at the end? And then, because he has formal... he's got formal working with Mel Brooks. I watched History of the World Part 1 the other night. He plays Jesus in that... unmistakable voice, and also by that he looked of the age that he was when you first see his mirror image at the end of Night of the Dead,
which I think was sort of around the time he played Caligula and Claudius, wasn't it?
So obviously the biggest one was the naked civil servant played Quentin Crisp, which was quite defining television.
Definitely.
I don't think we've particularly done John Hughes highlighting his work with Mel Brooks over anything else cinematically that he's done. But it's he'll be missed.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he always seemed like he was about 100 from the age of 40, from the age of 40 onwards, there was an immortality to the guy. You always thought that he would be around.
Yeah.
And I guess also once you become, there is a degree of immortality that comes with being Doctor Who. And you just imagine... if not on television, then at least for the next 1,000 years, there's going to be CDs and audio releases.
Nick Briggs is like, 1,000 years? Fucking hell.
Don't care. If they've planned that out that far, don't you kid yourself. But I mean, obviously, the saddest thing about it was how sudden it was, coming off the back that we were told largely that he was fine.
Because he had been ill. But he pulled out of was it The Entertainer he was due to be in last year? And I remember reading that and going, oh, fuck, I hope he's all right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the news at the start of the year, which was very sad. But
so, yep, that's two doctors away. One hoving interview.
Well, one that we hope will continue to be with us for a very long time and do some wonderful new projects.
Yeah.
One of which I accidentally may have stumbled upon the other day.
Yeah.
So... And Richie said that he interviewed Ewan McGregor and he mentioned it, but there's a film which Peter Capaldi has written and was due to direct in about 2012.
Okay.
I think it was like 2012, 2013. So obviously something came along and derailed that plan.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's something he will revisit, because apparently I can't remember the name of the film now, but Ewan McGregor had said it was like one of the best, but I mean, people always say this, but it's like one of the best scripts he'd ever read. And of the two films, the two feature films anyway, I've not seen the short that he has written, one of which he's directed, I've very much enjoyed. There's a real sense of sort of John Byrne in there a little bit, in that kind of mixture of sort of like American culture with sort of very Glasgow iconography and themes. I hope we do see it. Because there was another rumour I remember last year, I think, which I think was debunked by Capaldi himself, but that he might return to directing and make a film loosely based around his experiences at like the Glasgow School of Art and being in a band and all this kind of thing. I can't wait to see what he does next. Yeah. It's just a shame it's not a fourth series of Doctor Who.
Let's not... You know, we've still got a full series to go.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so we've had a hiatus. But he has been with us for, nearly 5 years. From the moment of his announcement to...
On that mad Sunday.
Yeah. It's just weird how in a modern era... And I slightly suspect, I wonder if that's what's going to happen now. Rather than the heyday of Russell T. Davis era where you got a series a year, I do wonder if they will do a series... from October to December, they'll alternate how long.
Yeah, maybe, possibly
gaps between the series, so it becomes more of a.
I I mean, the thing is, I mean, people get all antsy about that, but I'm just like, how much Doctor Who do you really need?
Well, I mean, you...
As long as it remains... As long as it becomes an event when it comes back, that's the key.
Yeah.
I don't think you want it to be away for a year, and then it kind of just skulks out unannounced.
Yeah, which I felt the last couple of series have been.
Yeah. There's not been as much fanfare. But the reason for that is presumably because... It's, you know, it's slotted between Strictly and The X Factor.
Mm.
Your major TV presses, they're all focused on that.
Yeah.
I would imagine most of BBC's marketing budget goes on Strictly.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, of course, it's going to feel a bit muted and a bit less... Ah! You know, it's not going to have that pizzazz of the Russell T era.
Yeah, well, time will tell.
Time will tell.
So, should we wrap this up? This has been little on the Time Lash extra. The reason we didn't put this on as a newly edited introduction...
Because we thought we were going to go on for a bit.
Yeah, to our 50th anniversary episode, fuck's sake, to our 50th episode, is because that's already fairly long.
Yes.
So we didn't want to assault any ears. So there's just two little things and you can take or leave.
Yeah.
So this is going out on the same day as our 50th episode, which is, remind me again, it happened so long ago.
It is the Time of Angels in Flesh and Stone, paired up with Earthshock.
Yes. So nip over to...
Just click the episode above this and enjoy.
But thank you for joining us. And we promise we will not be strangers. Yes.
You've got us for at least the next, alternate weeks for 8 weeks.
Yes.
Fantastic, eh?
Thanks very much.